Hey everyone, welcome to Non-Traditional Student. This is Allison, your non-traditional student. Third time's the charm, third time recording this, hoping I will do better with my tiredness, not going completely off track on everything. Previous recordings made no sense in us listening to them. I had good parts, just like I'm not going to sit here and cut and paste all the bad parts and good parts and try to figure it out. So let's try again. Someday, maybe this will go well enough I can get someone else to do it. Maybe. But I want to start off with saying thank you to my Canadian listeners. I apparently have two in Canada, one in Brampton and one in Toronto. Now, I don't know how close they are or aren't, like, as far as locations. It could be the same person. I don't know. But whoever you are, thank you so much. Thank you for listening. It looks like I've had someone in Canada listening from that, from, I think, Toronto, listen a couple of times, and that's awesome. So thank you. And of course, as soon as I tried doing this for a third time, my dogs were doing something weird downstairs. So beyond that, for anyone who wasn't sure what non-traditional student is and maybe isn't listening because of it, a non-traditional student is just someone who's going back to college beyond the normal age of going to college. Like, normal college age is, to start, is 18 to 20 years old. I am well above 20 years old. In fact, the first time I went to college, I was 24, and now I'm almost 40. So, you know, definitely not traditional. When I talk about all the people in my class, most of them are traditional students. I am definitely on that older end, which I've said several times. Other than that, and I'm going to go with my checklist this time and hopefully not jump around too much. I'm trying really hard to be better about that. The more tired I get, the worse it is. I'm aware. Part of that is my mental health problems. Part of that is just being exhausted, which adds into the mental health problems. Real quick. We do have an email for non-traditional students called nontraditionalpastry@gmail.com. I also have a Facebook, non-traditional student, and an Instagram of the same name. Instagram I just got started on. I actually already have more followers from that than I do from Facebook. And Facebook, I paid for advertising, which was a mistake. I never should have done it to try to get more people listening. A lot of people hit like. No one actually started listening because of it. But with Instagram, people are actually looking at the pictures of the things I do because it's popping up in their feed because it's something they're interested in. And a bunch of like chefs have already liked it and complimented it. And so that's cool. That's fun. I appreciate that. Definitely. Maybe one day they'll actually listen or suggest it to other people. You know, that'd be cool. Yeah. For anyone who's not aware of what the full point of this podcast is, it is also just being an older student, being a mom, moving to a big city from a relatively small area. Just kind of getting used to all these big changes later in life, like moving from Iowa, from essentially Bettendorf-La Clare, Iowa area to, or Davenport, a lot of more people have heard of Davenport, Davenport, Iowa to Chicago is a really big change. And honestly, mostly it goes the other way where people move from Chicagoland to that area. They prefer it because at one point in time you used to get a bigger yard and now the bigger yards are quickly shrinking. So, you know, that's mostly what it's about. It's just about all these major life changes. I try to focus primarily on the food and school part, because that's what I think people want to hear. Or that's the part I thought would be most interesting is, you know, returning to school and trying this new career path and all the things that went along with it. And now continuing down that road, I like to cover the things that are happening outside of school. Like, I just started my job. I'm not going to talk too much about that at this moment, though. I'll talk about that a little bit later. I do like my boss. She's pretty cool. Let's see. My dog fell down the stairs last week after an ice storm, and we just had a bit of a snowstorm last night, if you want to call it that. I call it a nice steady snow. Other people are calling it a snowstorm. Visibility was never that bad. So, and we didn't get so much. They're like, oh my gosh, it took 5 hours to get 3 inches of snow somewhere in there. It wasn't very much. So, you know, everyone's freaking out. All these kids thought we weren't having school, and they did. It wasn't that bad. It wasn't even that cold. Let's see. My dog fell down in the ice storm last week, which required us to go to the vet because she hit her head and her ear ended up like poofing up. Like it had a blood bubble in it. Only I didn't know what it was. It took a day to appear. Like it happened Thursday morning. Friday morning it wasn't there, but by Friday night it was there. Like I would go rub her ears the way I always do. And she started yelping and whimpering and pulling away. And I was like, oh my God, her ear. We called the emergency, a couple different emergency vets, and they're like, yeah, we don't bring her here. It's going to cost you a lot of money, and you still have to take her to a regular vet to actually fix the problem. We'll drain her ear, but you're going to have to take her to a regular vet. And then her regular vet couldn't believe that, this was from a fall and not an ear infection. And he looked her over really well. So he was just like, are you sure that she just fell? Yeah, she just fell. And this has never happened before. Like, nope. I've only had her for 4 years and she's 6 years old. As far as I know, it's never happened before. He's like, really? That's crazy. That's so rare. But Marley is a special girl. She's rare. She's my baby. She's my preferred baby most days. Yes, it's my cat. They're nicer to me than my baby is. My baby's mean to me. She's not letting me sleep lately. That's another big thing happening at home. Our daughter is not letting us sleep. She's been waking up screaming, and she'll scream for hours in the middle of the night for no apparent reason. Like Tuesday into Wednesday, I didn't get to sleep. She woke up at 1 and would not calm down. She didn't calm down until about 3:30. And like for at 1:45, I was like, here's a cookie. Calm down, maybe. Let's just have a cookie or have some cheese. And she's like, no. And then like 1:45 rolls around and I'm just like, come on, please. And no. And she's screaming. I'm letting Bluey play on TV after trying to get her calm down with no TV. She kind of calmed down, but kept crying and screaming. And then about 3:40 hit, so yeah, almost 3 hours later, I try to give her the cookie again and a glass of milk. She's like, okay. Completely calm and happy after that. Decided it was time to play. And it's like, I'm so tired. Yeah, you go on and play. About 6:30 rolls around and she's like, tired, tired. And I was like, me too. So we finally got to go back up to bed as my husband was getting up to go to work. We stayed home that day. I was supposed to go to class. She was supposed to go to daycare. We both stayed home to sleep. And I didn't even get to sleep. Like I got an extra hour of sleep. Last night I was just beyond tired. I'm beyond tired today. It's ridiculous. What else is happening? My oldest child is kind of a ghost. I pretty much had to threaten him with calling the police in order for him to respond to a single text message to say, yeah, mom, I'm good. I was just hanging out with my girlfriend. Sorry. So we hadn't heard from him essentially since we got back from Florida. And that's been over a month. So it's great when you have to threaten your kid with contacting the police for them to respond. Probably just afraid to get busted with weed. And what else is happening? I had a big snowstorm yesterday. It's very lovely. It was very pretty. It's powdery snow, which is both hard and not hard to shovel, especially after it gets packed down. We lost baby snow boots though, so that kind of stinks. We don't have any clue where they went. What else is going on? I'm trying to think if there's anything else to cover. Got a new vet that we like. See. No, nothing else really to cover that I'm not going to cover later. So that is the stuff currently happening in our household. Lack of sleep, dog's getting hurt, dog's being just fine, and crazy $800 vet bills. It was also her regular appointment too. It wasn't just the emergency thing. That was actually the cheap part of the visit. If it had just been her ear, it would only cost us $80. But because she had to get her vaccinations and all this other stuff, and we also got her meds for flea tick and heartworm, it ended up being about $800. So there's that. Let's see. Moving on to school, I guess, because I don't know what else to talk about. Speech. We'll start with speech. I did have to give my speech last week. Right before my speech, I actually had my meeting with my career advisor and I left all my note cards there. My career advisor actually ended up delivering them to my speech teacher because she thought, that'd be easier. My speech teacher could just hand them to me because she didn't realize that my speech would be over. So yeah, I did my speech without my note cards. I did well. I got an A on it, so there's that. It actually probably helped not to have the note cards because I didn't, I try to keep it more to the point, which worked. And people responded, they laughed, they nodded, What more could you ask for? Anywho, I also had my meeting with my career advisor, Ms. Bosco. It was to go over my resume, and so we have our professional development class at the end of every quarter. And during that class, she had given, a group direction of, hey, this is how you do your resume. This is what I expect. So I was just kind of like, oh my God, are you kidding me? And so I tailored it to what she said she wanted to see. And then she was like, yeah, you've been working for like over 20 years. This is not good enough. And I was like, okay, thank goodness, because I was really unhappy with it. So I had to fix it and turn it back in. She's like, oh, okay, so much better. So very much better. She also, she's really great, very helpful. Like, I told her about where I want to end up, and she started making suggestions for me. She was surprised to find out that there was a patisserie I've been trying to get a stage with or a job at that just hadn't been responsive. I never walked in though, so that was my bad. I need to walk in. I was like, I don't know what's going on. I just haven't heard anything. When I tried to just call, they told me I needed to do it online, so I did it online. I never heard anything back. And then it came out there's some stuff that had been happening there that like the owner, the namesake of the place had been quite ill, and someone else had been running the business for a while, but they thought she was back in, back in the seat of power, but maybe not. So it's like, okay, well, maybe we need to reach out and see what's going on there. Also, let's see, what else can I talk about? Miss Bosco, I was also asking me about my home life. I told her about my kids. I told her about my oldest son who's working at this restaurant. He was actually encouraged to and did, in fact, drop out of college because his chef told him he didn't need to go to college or culinary school. He could just learn on the job. And she just looked at me like, what? I was like, yeah. He was going, for a different career path at the time. He was going there to earn his money. And then this kid, because the chef is essentially a kid, encouraged him to drop out of college. And she's like, well, where is this at? And I didn't think of anything of it. So I told her where my son works. And she's like, well, if anyone ever tries to try to intern there, we will not be, okay with that. If they ever reach out to us for interns, we will probably not be placing because we don't do that. We don't do encouraging kids to drop out of college. And I was like, well, oops. Did not mean to do that. But no, she's really cool. She's very direct. Her big thing was I need to stop being so apologetic and doing the Midwest nice thing. She said a lot of people will see it as a weakness. No one's gonna doubt my niceness. And I was like, oh, okay. To be truthful, for me, some of the apologetic thing is a trauma response. We all have histories, we all have shit. For me, it is much more a trauma response than anything else. So that was kind of hard hitting for me. It's just like I can't help it. Like, it's not me trying to be polite. It's, a trauma response. It just made me feel a little pressured, I guess. I don't know how to phrase it right. It triggered, maybe. Like, it kind of upset me, but she's not wrong. I apologize for things that aren't my fault. I apologize for things I don't need to apologize for all the time. My husband has also been like, you need to stop being like that. At the same time, though, I think he's definitely realized it is def very much a trauma response. Because also a lot of times I start crying when I'm apologizing for things I shouldn't need to apologize for, because I feel like I'm about to be attacked for it. But yeah, we all have our problems, yeah. We've already talked about the baby not sleeping. It's still ongoing. Still ongoing. Like, it was really rough last week when she was doing it. Like, all 5 mornings when I walked into class last week, I was like, Chef, I'm so tired. She was really cool about it. She was just like, oh my gosh, I didn't, like, she herself has no children. So when she was hearing about that, she's like, oh, sounds awful. It is. It is awful indeed. So moving on. Let's see. Last week in our pastry techniques course on Monday, we turned the ice cream for the base we had made the previous week. Mine was a strawberry lime ice cream. Very sadly, it didn't turn out well. Our chef had thought she lined up all the flavors just so we wouldn't need to clean the machine out in between flavors. Sadly, that it was not true. So she had a mango ice cream in front of my ice cream, which was strawberry. Strawberry is actually a relatively delicate flavor unless you're using fake flavor, and putting a shit ton of it in there. Natural strawberry is just not a very strong flavor. It's very delicate. Mango, however, is not. Mango is a very strong flavor. My ice cream, because we, we clean it out with paper towels the best of our ability. We got as much out as we could. Then I was like, okay, well, we can't really get any more out without scrubbing the sucker down. So we churned it anyway. And when it came out, I was looking, it's like the girl, like she had missed ice cream day. So she was there helping me churn mine, and she's looking at it, it's like, that's really orange. Like, you're right, it is really orange. And then it came out, and all you could taste was mango. And I went up to the chef's like, just as an FYI, I think we need to start cleaning up the machine between flavors because this tastes straight up like mango. It doesn't taste like anything else. She tasted it, she's like, oh, you're right, but we'll let it sit 24 hours and see what happens. And then I went back out there to help the next girls clean it out. Which they had already started churning theirs by the time I made it back out. But they did pistachio, and I guess my strawberry ice cream cleaned out all the mangoes. That was good. And theirs tasted like pistachio because they barely cleaned it out. So, there's that. Mine sucked. Theirs was good. But we learned something that day. Also, that day, we made a triple batch of mirror glaze for our practice tea tarts, and our regular tea tarts for our practical exam. It when you really look back at it, we made way too much. We each made probably about a half gallon of, so that's 2 quarts of this glaze. We didn't even use a whole quart of glaze between all the practices and the final. Like, we just didn't use that much. You're not supposed to use that much. So we wasted a lot of glaze. Hopefully they used it for something else though. I don't like mirror glaze. Like, it's very effective cosmetically. I don't like it. It's not good. It's gross. It's like tar and gelatinous. Not my favorite. But to make a mirror glaze, you need some sort of fat. Your fat is your binding agent. It's also what is going to make it look pretty. So we used cream in ours. I've heard people use butter and some other stuff. Vegetable oil is another one. I think cream works pretty well. I noticed amongst recipes that's the main one people use. Let's see. We used cocoa powder, glucose, and cornstarch. First time we made it for the raspberry bar, we used glucose. Second time we made it, we used corn syrup. What else did we use? We used regular sugar. Because we heated all that up with our cream, we used. Maybe that's it. I don't remember. But yeah, you heat it up, you get it all mixed together. You sift your cocoa powder in very last, whisk it in, and then you put it through a sieve. And you do not push it through because you don't want any of the granules coming through. You don't want it to be grainy or gross. My mirror glaze came out really well both times. But I have an issue with adding too little or too much. So there's that. We also worked on our practice tarts at the same time we were learning to temper chocolate. And I was just so tired. I was already just very distracted. I tempered my chocolate really well with Tough Gene, with Chef Gene. However, he is a crazy old man. I enjoy him. He would be like, okay, don't kill the baby. Pay attention to your heat, babysit. But you need to come over here and do this, and you need to come over here and do that. You need to watch this. You need to watch that. It's like, wait a minute, how am I supposed to be like babysitting the baby if you keep distracting me? I felt like it was a challenge. I definitely felt the challenge there. And then, but tempering chocolate, we'll get into that in a second, because while we were learning to temper chocolate, we're also supposed to be baking our tart shells, and mine got horribly burnt because of just so much distraction and so tired. And my teacher knew, like, thank God Chef Heidi knew how tired I was. She totally forgave it. I was like, I got out of the oven at the right time. I set my timer, and then I reset my timer, and I'm not gonna lie to you, like, I heard it go off, but like, it didn't mean anything in my brain what that timer meant. And she's like, what do you mean? It's like, I heard it. I knew what it was. Like, I intellectually knew exactly what it was, and yet it meant nothing to me. Like, it went off, and I continued to do my chocolate because it meant nothing to me that it was going off. And she's like, "Are you serious?" She's like, "Yeah." Yeah. She's like, "Okay, well, that's understandable. You told me how tired you were." It's like, "Yeah." Chef Heidi's very sweet. She's very understanding when you talk to her in advance. And I didn't even talk to her like in complaint or to explain a situation. It's just like I walked in the morning and the first student, they're like, "Oh man, my daughter didn't let me sleep. I am so tired." And she's just like, "Hey, you look pretty tired. Like, are you okay?" I was like, "My daughter just like, she decided to get up at 2 a.m. and she just refused to go back to sleep. And I just, she already had had a fitful night of sleep before that. So I just didn't sleep much." Yeah. So, and this was a frequent conversation last week with her. So she understood to a degree. She has no children, like I said, so she doesn't fully understand, but she somewhat got it. But continuing on, tempering chocolate with Chef Jay. He walked around the classroom. He was very adamant about going around the classroom, checking to see where everyone's temperatures were. I did really well at getting my temperature up to heat, cooling it down, getting it back up to heat. And this is about the time when he was distracting everyone with like, "You need to come watch this." As I'm like, "Oh, I can't." I can't. But my chocolate was tempered well. It said chocolate when it's tempered correctly, it should set within about 45 seconds. Like you should see it starting to set. It takes about 3 to 5 minutes to fully set, but within 45 seconds, you could see it start to go from being wet to drying. And then when it's fully set, you should be able to snap it. It shouldn't be bendy, it should snap. If it's bendy, it means you did not temper your chocolate correctly or that a lot of moisture got into it. Like if it's really humid, good luck tempering chocolate. It just doesn't work. Ooh, gross. Excuse me. Heartburn City, man. With chunks. Yuck. Yuck. I'm so sorry. Ugh. Yucky. So you learn to temper chocolate at the same time we're supposed to be making these tarts. By the end of the class period, I had to reheat my ganache, and I got it like not where it should have been, but good enough to pipe in. Put it in my tart shell and tried to smooth it out, and then I poured my Mirror Glaze over it, but I had too much ganache in, so all my Mirror Glaze ran over the sides of my tart. So looked very thin, although it did look very pretty, she said. And then she's like, "Well, you just need to put less ganache in, but make sure next time when you put your ganache in for the practical, it needs to be liquid. It shouldn't be pipeable, it should be liquid." Okay, good to know. So I made sure to correct that for, my final. Let's see. And then that pretty much catches up to Thursday and Friday. The last thing we did on Wednesday after we messed up these tarts, we also, it's our Q&A question before our final got started. One of the big things, she was like, "Okay, guys, remember, you need to bring in your sketches of your plate of desserts. You have two plate of desserts you have to do with these tarts. So just remember, you have to draw it out, and whatever you plate has to look like your drawings. I don't expect works of art, just something that is basic what you got." Somehow only five of us heard that. Only five of us, and only four of us actually did it before we got into class. Excuse me, I'm gonna take a drink. Excuse me, sorry. I have that good nugget ice and some water. It's delicious. I love nugget ice. So five of us heard this. I drew out my stuff Thursday morning. I was in there again first, and I was like, "Look, they're like, hey, I hope this is all right. This is what I have. Like, what do you want it now? Do you want it tomorrow?" Like, she's like, "Oh, I want it tomorrow, like on your tray. We'll talk about it tomorrow." We never actually talked about it. I had to ask her point blank as I was getting ready to return my stuff, and like, "Where do I put these drawings at?" So anyway, I asked her about it. And then, she talked about it in front of everyone before we actually got started with the practical. And still no one, like the same four people who heard it originally, four or five people were the only ones who heard it, and then were the only few who actually had it done. So, because the next day, I had six people asking, like, "What are those drawings? Like, what drawings?" It's like, you guys are all here for the same conversations I was. But yet you didn't hear this part that you need to draw out your plated dessert. Also learned a bunch of people never learned the basics with their plated desserts. Plated desserts do not need should not be so extravagant that they take you a long time to do. They should be something you can do very quickly, Like, it shouldn't take you 35 minutes to do a plate of dessert. It should take you less than 10 minutes to do a plate of dessert. It should be something that other people could also copy. Don't get me wrong. Like, everyone does something extravagant for magazines, that's hard to copy. But ideally, it should be something that to actually put it on the plate doesn't take very long. Which some people are really learning that, other people are not. But we'll get into that in a few minutes. So for the day of our finals, she gave us about 10 minutes to ask questions before she's like, okay, get started. Quiet kitchen. The one of the big things she really pushed was, and this comes into play because we've had drama in our class about people using other people's tools, not using their own. She's like, I'm gonna make sure everyone has their own tools out. I'm gonna make sure everyone's keeping their space clean, blah, 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 blah. This all counts against your grade. Well, a couple people didn't get the message because they did not get good grades. But we'd also had issues with one particular young lady was not getting out her own tools to use. She kept using her partner to the point where her partner wasn't able to use her tools when she should have been able to use them. Her partner complained about it to our teacher and was like, hey, chef, like I'm having this problem where my bench partner keeps taking my tools out of my hand and then I'm waiting to use my own tools. She gets done using them, puts them back. She doesn't even wash them. I don't mind sharing occasionally, but she's not even getting her stuff out and it's always dirty. Like it's not fair. So this was the whole thing with Chef Heidi going on this route. Otherwise, I don't think she would have or even realized something was a problem. Also made her pay more attention to the way people were working around the kitchen, I believe. So the way it went, she did not tell us how to do things. She made her suggestions. She's like, I suggest make your dough first. I suggest then making your ganache. I suggest then, if you need to, make your mirror glaze. And then I suggest, if you still have time, bake off your tarts. Then fill. Blah, blah, blah. Okay, so she also suggests getting everything ready to go right away. I don't like doing that. Our workbenches, you have two people generally at a workbench. At this workbench, you will have two stand mixers, you'll have two induction burners. And sometimes you need both things at the same time for each person. Like, I have my stand mixer, my induction burner, my like lab partner has her induction burner, her stand mixer. And in between the space of all these things, you have less than 6 inches. So it's not a lot of space. The induction burners, I would say, are about 18 inches by 18 inches. So, and anyone knows what a typical KitchenAid stand mixer is, they're not small. So it takes up a lot of space, right? So my thing was, I don't have to have all this crap out at the same time. I'm gonna do what I gotta do so I can keep things moving, keep things put away, have as much space as I possibly can, keep it as clean up as possible. So, and other people are like, well, I'm gonna get all my ingredients first and then I'm gonna go make all my stuff and blah, 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 and make big, big messes. And like the girls across from me, who I like to call Tweedledee, Tweedledum, they literally scaled everything out. Scaling is what you call it when you measure everything out, all your ingredients. They scaled for everything. At their table, they had about 39 pans. That's almost all the nine pans for our class. At any given time, I had two nine pans and one six pan at my table for me. Otherwise, and I kept rewashing and reusing the same exact ones. One, I didn't want to have a whole lot of dishes. Two, I saw the way people were operating. It's like, man, I don't want to have to combat with those people over trying to get all this stuff. I also just don't have room. Like, they didn't have any room at their table, and they also got really bad grades, probably because they didn't have room to do the work properly. So, first thing I did, I scaled out for my tart shells. I combined my dough, I separated my dough. I patted them down as flat as I could into discs to make rolling out easier. Put them in the fridge to sit. Sitting time for how thin they were was probably about 45 minutes to 90 minutes. I don't remember. I know it was about 90 minutes I let them sit in the fridge. I cleaned up my mess, scaled out for my ganache, went and poked at my tart shells to see how firm they were or weren't. They were getting there, so I was like, okay, I'm not gonna make my ganache right now. I'm gonna go get my tart rings. I'm gonna get my rolling pin. I'm gonna get my flour to dust my station. I'm gonna clean my station off, put my induction burner back away, because I'm gonna do that first. 15 minutes later, like I know, it doesn't really take 15 minutes. I made it take 15 minutes. Just like cleaning up doesn't really take, an hour. I made it take a little while because I kind of had a plan for how I wanted to do things. I didn't want to make my ganache until my tart shells were actually in the oven because I wanted to pour my liquid ganache without having to reheat it because it does affect the flavor. Some people tell you it won't. It does. Like I even oversteeped my tea because I was worried about the flavor changing, and it did. Like when my ganache was originally done, it was super strong. By the time my teacher tasted it, it had completely settled and it was an appropriate strongness. So anyway, I got my tart shells pushed into the pan, right? Put that in the cooler so it could cool down because you need to let it cool in case it shrinks. And then I started actually making my ganache. While I was waiting for my chocolate to melt, it probably took about 10 to 15 minutes in the freezer for my tart shells to be ready to go. Trimmed them back up, put them back in the oven for, you gotta put the beans in it. We don't have pastry beans or whatever. We have like regular beans that you put on top of parchment to bake so it doesn't like poof up. Got that in there. So lined it, put it in there. Set the timer for 20 minutes, made my ganache. Okay. By the time my timer went off, my ganache was just getting done, which was perfect. Put my ganache into a hotel pan, set it aside. Got the lining out of my tart pans, put those back in for about another 10 minutes, got those out of the oven. Like I did a couple dishes, got those out of the oven, let those cool, finish my dishes, finish cleaning up my station. And then I was able to pour my ganache into my tart pans. You have to pop them out of their rings, by the way, while they're still kind of warm. Not because you actually have to do it while they're still kind of warm, but because other people need them, including the next class. So, got those out, cleaned up my tart rings, poured my ganache in, let it sit for a couple minutes to try to get a skin on top before I put it in the fridge because I was afraid of spilling. Very slowly made my way to the fridge. Saw someone in front of the fridge. I think it was Chef King. He was in there talking to Chef Heidi. I was like, "Chef King, can you get the door?" And he was like, "Oh, yes, I can." So I was able to put that in there and that was nice. And then from there, clean up my station really good. It's like, okay, we're gonna temper chocolate. Got my chocolate to temper, got my seeding chocolate, got all the things that I need to temper my chocolate and to do the things we had to do. We had to make two discs with off-center cutouts, and then we had to make a spiral thing with a comb and then we had to make other decor for on top of our tarts. And so my first round, I tempered my chocolate perfectly. Like I will say that it was perfectly tempered thin chocolate. Everything I made broke when I tried to get it off the acetate. And now by the time this happened, it was actually about 45 minutes before class ended. And I'd already cleaned up all my dishes. Like I tried to pipe some tempered chocolate stuff out. I was like, well, that didn't work. I knew I was gonna have to at least do a little bit of tempering in the next day. And I like my whole goal was to make sure the next day to have enough time to temper chocolate just in case I fucked up. Good thing though, because I did, and all my stuff broke. I had one of the two discs survive, so I had to do it again. Yeah, it sucked. It definitely sucked. And then the following day, I went in there. Very first thing I did was temper my chocolate after I poured my Mira glaze. And Mira glaze took about 10 minutes to heat up. It was awful. It was awful. You want your Mira glaze to only get up to 110 degrees, but like it is so firm and gelatinous. It's so gross. And at this time I didn't put enough ganache in my tart. I put too much Mira glaze in my tart, which is why I'm saying it's disgusting because I did get a mouthful of Mira glaze in my feeling. And that was something my teacher did say. She's like, yeah, it's kind of like a mouthful of Mira glaze. You have to kind of go underneath it to taste your ganache. And she was not wrong. She was completely correct. It was kind of gross. It wasn't so bad on my little tarts. It was just on my big tart. But it looked pretty. It did look pretty. Like aesthetically, I got a good grade. Just it was on those technicalities of my tart shell was too thick in some places, which is true. I had my tart shell kept ripping, so I kept patching it in. When I was trying to press it in, and then I was so afraid of my Mira glaze pouring over the top that I didn't put enough ganache in, and I was a So, that was my fault. That was my fault. Like, she was completely right. It ended up costing me about 9 points. But otherwise, I got graded well. My cutting was not good. We had to cut our big tart into 12 pieces. I did very poorly at that. Like, I kept shaking. Partially because I was just so tired, partially just because I'm not very good at that part. Even cutting is not my forte. But it looked really pretty. We put a little bit of gold leaf on it. I had one tiny piece of gold leaf per piece. You had to put our big spiral on there. So the first thing I did after I poured my mirror glaze and put that back in the fridge and let set, I retempered my chocolate to make my spiral thing, which still broke. It still broke, but broke a little less. So there's that. Remade my discs. They both turned out the second time. But then I just made some other fun stuff for my plated desserts. And then I could work on my plating. Now, for my plating, I used a blood orange ginger sauce that I previously made. She told me it's okay since I had made it myself and I'd pretty much made it my own recipe. It was okay for me to reuse. And also, it was a waste not, want not. And then we made a class batch of Chantilly, which is a stabilized whipped cream essentially. And we use. And, she had been thinking, well, we all have to make our own, but I kind of pointed out, it's like, hey, here's a problem. I need to use Chantilly for my design. Like I showed her my pictures that I've drawn. It's like, I need to use the Chantilly. However, I can't really use it. I don't want to make an entire batch. It's 2 pounds, and I'm going to be using less than a third of, less than a quarter of a pound. I'm probably not even going to use like 2 ounces of this stuff. Like, I have seriously like 3 small dollops on one plate, maybe, and then I added 2 more, mostly to hold my chocolate decor in place. At like one plate, I didn't even have Chantilly on it. I used it, but then I was like, man, I need to hold my chocolate mold in place. Boop, Chantilly. Same with my plate that originally had Chantilly on it. It's like, oh, I need something to hold this mold in place. Boop, Chantilly. It has its uses, guys. It has good use. So she's like, oh yeah, that's a really good point. And think about that. And then she announced the entire class batch, guys. We're gonna have a class batch. Allison is making the class batch. It turned out to be Edgar got to make the class batch. And clearly two other people didn't hear that announcement or ignored it because they both got dinged for making it their own batch of Chantilly, and they both end up wasting quite a bit of Chantilly. We'll get into that into a moment into grading criteria. I tempered more chocolate. I used some of my tempered chocolate on my plate to work as a dam system for my fruit sauce. She said, it seems like a lot of fruit sauce, but the aesthetic of it is great. And I was like, well, think of it this way. It's kind of like, you get to pick and choose how much sauce you do or don't want. Like, there's more than enough there. There's probably going to definitely be a little bit of waste, but some people will not waste that sauce. They'll use every little bit. And some people use barely any because they want more chocolate. I personally am somewhere in the middle. I'm going to use a chunk of sauce in every bite because I want to break up that chocolate. The chocolate's too much for me. She's like, okay, I get it. I get it. I get what you're doing. I love the look at it. Now, if I were paying for that chocolate myself, that tempered chocolate on that plate, I probably would be like, absolutely not. It's a cool idea. It's a cool effect. Absolutely not. If you're gonna do crap like that, just use chocolate chips. Same thing, a lot cheaper. And you don't have to temper it because chocolate chips don't temper, guys. Let me tell you what, they do not temper correctly. They don't even melt right. So I've tried. But yeah, I probably use about technically $5 worth of chocolate. To make my dam. It's really cool looking. The picture is on Facebook for anyone who wants to check it out. It was really cool looking. I have a bit of a shaking problem, so it's a little messy at the same time, but it was a good plan. I was actually pretty proud of it. And then my other one, it was very simple design, like 2 drops of fruit sauce in between dollops of Chantilly, like they weren't dollops. It was like, the sauce or twist thing. It's like one of those, 2 drops, Chantilly, 2 drops, Chantilly, 2 drops. It's cool. But again, pictures are on Facebook. Maybe I'll use a picture for this episode. You never know. We'll see. We'll see. I'm not sure. We'll use one of them. Anywho, but those are my plated desserts. I'm at the end. I got all my stuff cleaned up, and then, she graded them. I got 91 out of 100. And things that we were scored on. We were scored on waste. How much of your product did you waste? I got graded well on that. I had extra pie crust, like dough. It's not pie crust. It was actually a, I'm gonna say a pâte sablée, chocolate pâte sablée. So I didn't have unreasonable extra amount of that. I had no extra ganache. I did have extra Muir glaze, but so did everybody. But then, because I had brought up the Chantilly, she actually gave me bonus points for that, for pointing out the amount of waste people I had. I put a little bit of orange zest on top of mine, but I also was just like, hey, who wants to use my orange? Who wants to use my orange? Like, I have a lot of orange left here. I just use a little bit of zest. Anyone want to use it? So she gave me a good grade for like teamwork and making sure things weren't going to waste. Got a good grade on cleanup. I had actually said a couple things a couple times, but hey guys, let's make sure we're drying our dishes and putting them away so everyone can, go from sink to sink to sink. And I'll tell you some stories here in a second about people who did not get good grades and why. And it was kind of surprising for a couple, not so surprising for others. She gave me good plating scores, like they were simple and elegant, easy to copy. And that's what she was looking for, simple elegance that are easy to repeat in a very limited amount of time. Like, let's be honest, my plating only took me about 4 minutes per plate if you don't count the actual cleanup. So, there are other people who took about 45 minutes per plate. That's way too long. So I got a good score on that. Like I said, the only thing I didn't get a good score on was the amount of Muir glaze I used and the thickness on my crust, because it was uneven as well. It's something to work on. So I did well. My friend Yesenia did well. Things people did not get scored well on. As I said before, there was a young lady who kept using her partner's stuff and refusing to use her own stuff. And she also was not cleaning up after herself when she was using her partner's stuff. She was letting her partner clean up that. She did not get a good grade for that. She did not get a good grade on her plating because her plating took too long. It took too much effort. And she was told it looked like she put ketchup on the plate from the way she did her fruit sauce. I personally didn't agree with that. I thought it looked like flower petals. It's very pretty, very arty. However, again, when you're trying to make something that's easy and quick to do, and so I was remembering that this is subjective. The grading is subjective. So whereas I thought it was very pretty, Chef Heidi thought it was a bit garish and unattractive. And that's her right to think so. But mostly this girl got nicked off for teamwork. She got nicked off for not keeping a clean workspace. She got nicked off because it took her too long to do her plating. Let's see other reasons people got nicked off. Keeping stations clean and keeping the sink area clean is a big one people were getting in trouble for. So across the table, kind of from me, is a young woman who left her chef's knife at the kitchen sink. She lost 10 points. One, she just endangered herself and anyone else going over to that sink because she didn't even leave it like visible. She had it buried under a bunch of other dishes. It was someone else doing dishes who ended up coming across the knife and like, whose knife is that? And this is someone who has been called out before, like, hey, finish your dishes, because she was dumping stuff at the sink. I've called her out before. And yeah, no, just like she didn't learn anything the whole time. And then when she got a bad grade, she's like, well, I don't understand my grade. It's like, you mean like when you left your chef's knife at the sink, you don't understand that you got nicked off for that? She's like, no, they can't nick me off for that. It's like they can. That's actually like a category on there is cleanliness, teamwork, safety. You didn't announce when you were putting your tart from the oven to the cooling rack. You didn't say hot coming out. You say behind, hot coming out, sharp. You didn't say any of these things. You were very quiet. So you could have burned someone. You could have burnt yourself. You could have cut someone. You could have cut yourself. Safety is a big thing in the kitchen. So, there's that. She didn't get any of that. She had a very messy workstation. She created a lot of unnecessary dishes. Now, Tweedledee Tweedledum were on the next table to hers. They got really bad grades. I actually thought their plates were just gorgeous. Like, they were gorgeous plates, magazine cover plates. They got nicked off because they were too complicated. I mean, yeah, they were, but they it does not subtract from the fact they were absolutely gorgeous platings. They took too long, and they're not great team workers. They're great for each other. They're not great for the whole classroom. They were big on, we're just gonna dump our dishes. We're not even gonna wash them. We're just gonna dump them and walk away, including very hot pans, to the point where they were damaging pans by taking their steaming hot pans and just tossing them in cold water. Warping, that causes warping, if anyone it doesn't realize. It's the point of the point of pastry and culinary school is it's supposed to be a professional setting. You're supposed to be acting professionally. People who weren't acting professionally got nicked off. A lot of people got nicked in ways they didn't think were fair. And it's like, well, look at it as a professional kitchen. If you were at work, would you have acted like that? If the answer is yes, then you already got bigger problems. But yeah, anyway. In the long run, a lot of people think grades they thought they should have got when 91 is the third highest grade. I think the highest grade was Yesenia with 96. I forget what she got nicked off for, but it was fair. It was like a, I want to say her mirror glaze was also a little too thick. I think that was it though. I think that's all she got nicked off for was her mirror glaze is a little too thick. Like the girl who I worked with right next to me got an 86. She had been pushing her mirror glaze through a sieve and therefore is a little gritty. And that's what she got that. Her tart crust was a little overbaked. She got nicked off on a couple of small things, nothing huge. But then other people are getting nicked off on teamwork. They're getting nicked off on cleanliness. Like my teammate got nicked off on cleanliness, and a whole bunch of stuff. But still, only one person got a really bad grade. I didn't see her work. No, girl who left her knife at the sink got a really bad grade too. But the other young lady, I have no clue what went on with hers. I know she was really upset. She's talking about dropping out and how Chef Heidi made her want to drop out. I was like, I'm guessing there's a lot you didn't hear, or you're not reflecting on what was being said because I have no clue what you're going on about. But yeah, who knows? But also if there's some criticism. If you can't take that criticism here in a relatively safe setting without needing to immediately complain, you're never going to make it in someone else's kitchen. So that is just a thought process because Chef Heidi is a very kind person, very nice person. She gave us thank you notes for word's sake. Like she's like, oh, thank you for being in my class. You've been such a pleasure. She gave them to everybody. Like everybody got a nice thank you note. So I don't know. I don't know. Some of the people were complaining. It's like, I mean, was the complaint accurate? Like, was your grade accurate? That's what I'm asking you. You may have thought blah, 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 but when she's talking to you about things, was it an accurate point? Because that's all you, the answer needs to be accurate and not accurate. Is that still working? It is still working. Okay, sorry, my we have humidifiers running in our very dry Chicago house right now, so you could tell my throat is dry. The humidifiers help. They help your skin at least. And they help your wood. We have a lot of wood because our house is 100 years old. Everywhere you look, there's wood. Some of the wood needs to have a crap ton of paint that was poorly done and moved, but doo-doo-doo. Moving on. Doo-doo-doo. So, yep. So that was that. 91. You said you got 96. And to celebrate our decent grades and being grateful that for a little while we didn't have to wake up at the same time, which ended up being wrong because I still have to get up at the same time. We went out to lunch, and this is my food of the week, guys. This is my food of the week right now. We went to the Gage for Restaurant Week. Restaurant Week is a little over a week, honestly, but it is a week-long thing in Chicago where these more high-end or fine dining restaurants have lunch specials that it's $30 per person for three courses. That is like your appetizer, and by appetizer, I mean like a salad or a small thing, a soup. It's not like, nachos. And then you get your entree and your desserts. And it's very limited menus. It's like three options for each thing or two options for each thing. It's not like you have infinite options. Some of them had special cocktails they came up with. Yesenia and I chose the Gage because the dessert looked the best and it was most conveniently located for the two of us. There were places that looked better, but they were up in like Lincoln Park. Lincoln Park's not that easy to get to for us. Or they were out a little bit farther than was convenient for both of us to go. It's like, okay, well, if we go out there to Yosemite, I can get home easy, but then I have to come back and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, okay, well, this is the easiest place to go. It looks really good. And let's face it, both wanted to go and we can't afford it. So like for this $30, that is what your appetizer will in general cost you. Just your appetizer, by the way. Not even your entree. Entrees there range from $40 to $60 for their average lunchtime portion. So yeah, $30 is a deal. The whole point is, during winter business really dies down. They're trying to drive up business, get people back in, get people, they're coming to town for vacation or for a business meeting. Maybe this isn't a place they normally go. They go for restaurant week and they're like, oh, hey, yeah, I'm gonna totally come back. That's really the whole point of it. So we went to the Gage. I swear that I've been in there in the past drinking. I walked in, I looked around, I was like, I think I've been here before. She's like, you've eaten here before? It's like, no. I've never been in the Gage before. At least it wasn't the Gage, or it looked a little bit different, unless there's another restaurant really close to here that has essentially the same setup. I feel like I've been in here just drinking. Like just at the front, at the bar. I don't feel like I even went back into the restaurant except to use the restroom. But this view, like the way this looks right here, is so very familiar, but the colors are a little bit different. But yeah, that's how familiar it was. And I probably have been in there before. Anyway, the Gage is also on the bottom floor of our school. There is a restaurant called Kanto, and then right next door is the Gage. They're both in the Gage building. They're both narrow restaurants. They're both very expensive. So what I had for my appetizer was the Scotch egg. It was very good. I've never had one. Always been curious. A Scotch egg, for anyone who doesn't know, I believe it is a soft boiled egg that you then wrap. And I'm not sure about the process. I'm telling you how it seemed to me when I was eating it. It was wrapped in sausage and then rolled in a coating and then cooked, right? Like fried or something, or baked. I don't really know. And I'm not sure if it is a soft boiled egg, like it'd be a very soft boiled egg because it's still yolky when you open it, or if it's a raw egg, then encased in sausage and then rolled, and it looks like an egg. I'm not sure how it works, but it was good and it satisfied my curiosity and made me say, like, yeah, I'd eat it again. My Yesenia had an asparagus bisque. Pass. Neither of us really cared for it. She didn't finish it. I don't think she even liked it very much. And then our entrees, I had, it was a very fresh and delicious salad that had sliced tuna, very almost perfectly seasoned, if not perfectly seasoned for what it was, on top of my salad. It was delicious and awesome. And it had these like perfect blanched green beans that were marinated in the same salt. Those were so good. Like I was giving these to somebody, it's like, here, you gotta eat the green beans. Like, oh my God, it's so good. And she was just like, you love those green beans. I did. They were delicious. She has steak and frites, which is steak and fries. For anyone who doesn't know, her steak, so good. My goodness. Oh my God, so good. Like, and it was a big honking piece of steak too. Like, it was probably a 7 ounce steak after it was cooked. Like, it and it was perfectly medium rare. Oh my gosh. Oh my God. And then we came to the reason why we picked it over some of the other more close by places still doing restaurant week, including the place where she worked, where we would have gotten a bigger discount. Dessert. They had a chocolate mousse and a butterscotch tart. And we're like, that sounds pretty good. And it sounds better than like a cookie and some flan, which I'm not a fan of flan. And the cookie was like, meh. And some of the other places just like cheesecake. And I was like, this sounds better and a little more high end. Like, let's do this. And she's like, I am so with you. That's what I was thinking too. Like, cheesecake is cheesecake. Okay. Who cares? And then we were both like not happy with our desserts. We're like, the entree makes up for the lackluster chocolate mousse, which is just like an egg shape, a chocolate mousse dumped on a plate with a burnt crunchy thing. Like it's supposed to be a twill dipped in chocolate, but it was burnt and it was supposed to be a dusting of cocoa powder, and it looked like someone didn't understand the difference between a dusting and a drop. Like it just like it looked like someone threw up cocoa powder on my mousse. Her butterscotch tart was better. Like I was like, if you eat them together, it kind of helps. They were not our favorite desserts. We also had beverages. She had some sort of martini. I had what was called the cobbler. It was a grapefruit and blackberry beverage. I forget the kind of liquor that was in it. I think it was vodka. And with sage and lemon as your garnish, but they let the sage kind of soak into the liquor, so some saginess came off into the beverage. It was very good. I did not, there was not much I didn't enjoy about my meal except for the dessert. Would suggest the Gage. It is a high market place, though, like really expensive. Like my bill was $52 and some odd cents, plus I still had to tip. So I believe it ends up being, I ended up paying like $70. Yesenia's was about $65. She had her drink was really expensive. So you know, it just ended up costing her a bit more. Our waitress is very sweet, very nice. And you know how you know it's a higher end or a fine dining establishment? Your waitress might bring you your beverages. They do not bring you your food. They also do not bust your plates. There's someone out there already busting your plate. Like they see you're done eating, they grab your plate, they take it away, and then your waitress brings you out new silverware. You know, and there's also someone else to fill our waters. Like it's a lot of staff. Whereas, you know, what I grew up thinking was fine dining, your waitress, you know, she's refilling your cups. She, you know, tends to also be the one who has to clear your plate. And I do say she because in my experience, it is primarily females, not men who are in these positions. Don't get me wrong, I've had male servers before. I will say it's usually still someone else cleaning up versus the guys. I will say that. Women are much more on top of it. No offense, gentlemen. But yeah, so that's my place to eat. Like I said, I started my new job. I met the owner. She seems really cool. I'll talk about that more next week. It's probably gonna be a really short episode next week. I can't talk too much about work because I signed an NDA, which is fair. It's fine. Don't want to share recipe secrets. Also, I'm not gonna disclose too much about like where I work or anything as far as the actual name of the place. But it's a cool place. She's looking for that one big thing. Hopefully, I can help her find it. But that's it for today, guys. I don't know what we're going to talk about for the rest of February since I signed that NDA. I can't really talk too much about work. I made a blood orange tart for a bake sale. I guess I'll talk about that a little bit next week. I actually have to run that over to the PTA lady's house here in a couple minutes. So good timing for this to end because, yeah, I didn't expect to have to record this three times. Everyone have a good week. Hopefully I'll have this edited and put up by Monday. Have a good one, guys. Thank you for listening. Share, like, all that good stuff. Hopefully people start listening. I don't know, I'll probably keep doing it whether you do or don't, I suppose. Hopefully it catches on somewhere. Thanks. Have a good one. Bye.